Are you guys ready for the Word of God? I want to read some scriptures to you guys. We're in a series called Insecurity. We're talking about how to be secure in Christ, and how insecurity robs us of joy in our life. Now, I want to read Hebrews 10:35, and I'm going to read it in New Living Translation. It says this: "So do not throw away this confidence in the Lord." I'm going to stop there. God says to us, don't throw away confidence. Opposite of confidence is insecurity. Okay? So we're talking about insecurity. What is insecurity? Insecurity is lack of confidence or self-doubt. Okay? Insecurities arise in a person who thinks that he or she is not good enough. Insecurities often come from comparing ourselves to others. So we're talking about insecurities. I want to tell you a story, a real story from my life. When I was 17 years old, I started a small business that grew into a big business really fast. Now, I wasn't planning for it. I wasn't smart enough. I didn't have education or anything. Sometimes God just does it for you. I was 17 years old. I couldn't even register the business with an IRS. So I had to wait like 2.5 months till I turned 18 in September. I started the business in a kind of spring summer. I had to wait till I was 18 in order to register a business so I could be a legitimate business person. Okay? And as soon as I started, my business took off. It took off so much that I dropped out of school. Yeah, you didn't know that about me. Because my just took off. I couldn't handle all the calls. I mean, it wasn't anything I planned. It just happened. You know, there's some things just happen. And so God began to bless it and then just started growing and bursting at the seams since I was 17. When I was 25 years old, by accident, and some of you who've been here a while, you know this story, so smile and wave. But if you haven't been here, this is new to you. At about 25, my friend came from California to our city, and I met him. We kind of grew up together, and he said, I want to visit this small church. A pastor is a woman, and she's black. I'm like, okay. I grew up in all-white church. That's how I grew up. And so I'm like, that's interesting. I'm sure my pastor would not like me to go there, so I'll go there. Rebel by nature, right? And so I come to this building. This church building used to be owned by another church. Okay? So I come to this building, and I'm sitting in a corner, kind of, Anita, where you're sitting. Okay? And this pastor lady, there's like 15, maybe 20 people max. Most of them are on a stage. Honest. This pastor lady comes out. She's very pretty. And she kind of preaches and looks at me. And I'm like, what does she want? Do I have some sin in my life? You know how you are. You think right away that she knows something that you did. That you don't even think you did, you know. Yeah, I know what you did that summer. And so she looks at me, and at the end of the service, she does something interesting. She comes up to me, and she points at me, says, come over here. And I'm like, me? There's like not that many people there, so yeah, you. You know, she points at me, I come out to the front, and she begins to prophesy to me. She starts saying, you are a pastor. You are called to lead a church. God is going to bless it. And she began to tell me things. Now, I don't know how you look at prophesying, because you probably heard some prophet lying. But anytime there is a fake, it usually is means that there is something real. When somebody copies money, it doesn't mean that the money is bad, but it just means somebody faked something. So she was a true prophet, and she began to tell me that, and she began to call me a pastor. And I'm like, this lady is crazy, cray cray. And I left. But next Sunday night, I was like, Sunday's coming, what should I do? Guess what I did? I came back. She saw me again. She calls me a pastor. And I'm like, don't call me a pastor. I am not a pastor. Never thought of being a pastor. I have a friend, a buddy. He told me that when he was 8 years old, he knew that he wanted to be a pastor. He's still not a pastor. She's mid-30s, not a pastor. I, on the other hand, didn't want to be a pastor. Always loved business. I love the hustle of business, the action of business, you know. That people need you, they call you, you're always busy. I love that. I'm just like that, though. You know, my wife just like, she chills. You know, she walks on air type thing. Called my little turtle. But that's not who I am. I'm like everywhere. They told me I have to slow down because the camera guys cannot catch up with me. I have to like walk slower. You know, we're going live next week, so I still got one more week to like say whatever I want. So today, brace yourself. I'm going to say whatever I want. Next week, I have to keep it cool. And so she began to tell me, you're a pastor, you're a pastor. I'm like, don't call me a pastor. I'm sure that's illegal. It's like if I begin to call somebody a doctor and you're not a doctor, wouldn't that be like impersonating a doctor, impersonating an officer? She didn't care about that. She just said, you're a pastor. God called you to do this. Okay? You know that we have prophets in our church? Yeah, we have that. That's a gift that God gives to the body of Christ. Why don't you know them? Because it works through multiple people. It doesn't just work through one. It can work through you, actually. I had a drunk man prophesy to me. A drunk guy came up to me on the street. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. And he started telling me things. And I'm like, how do you know this stuff? Do you know that God could use a child to speak to you if you listen? Yeah. I talked to this one lady, and she said, you're going to be this and this and this. And I'm like, how do you know me? You don't know me. And she just came to me and just said it. There's prophets. God has that gift working, and he can work through a donkey. He did. Yeah, he can work through an animal. Yeah, ask Balaam. That's right. Balaam was a prophet, a bad guy, wanted money for prophecy. So you hire him, and he could prophesy good in your life, or you can hire him to curse somebody. That's the kind of prophet he was. The prophet liar. Prophet. Yeah, he was a prophet liar. And so, back to the story. And so she said these things, and long story short, God began to speak into my heart, and God began to confirm through other people that he called me to be a pastor. Guys, this is happening in a period of 6 months. So this is summer. He speaks to me, and then half a year later, we open a church. I said to God, God, I'm going to do it. And in my mind, in business, it was so easy. So I'm like, church is like a business, right? I mean, it's just a little spiritual, but there's business part. I can do that. That's nothing. Because since 17, all I knew was success. Till 25. I mean, it was just bursting at the seams, right? I mean, it was just growing nonstop. So I'm like, yeah, it's going to be the same thing. I could do this. So we started a church, and for 10 years, the church does not grow anywhere. It stays from 20 to 50 people. I mean, it stays there. And till then, I didn't know insecurity. But when God didn't grow the church right away, I became so bitter, so insecure, so envious of other pastors. There's this one pastor, he just opened a church, and next week he's like 1,000 people. I'm like, how did that happen? I'm working so hard. I'm doing everything right, God. And it's like you purposely keep people out. They were staying away by the hundreds. They were staying away by the hundreds. Yeah. And imagine you come to church and there's like 3 rows only people. And not every seat. And I got so insecure and so bitter, I started hating other pastors. To the point, I said, God, I'm done with this. Let me quit. And he said, if you can quit, you've heard me say that. But if you quit, you'll be out of my will. I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to be out of your will. I'm too smart for that. You know, if anything, I don't want to be out of your will. So I know what it is to be successful in something and feel like, well, everybody else is, what is it, inferior to you? Because, you know, I had buddies who didn't do anything. Actually, one day I did something so stupid. When I was like 19 years old, God blessed me with a job, and I made like a huge amount of money. Won't even tell you. So I'm so excited. I'm not married. I don't have a wife yet, so nobody to share it with, right? So, but I'm bursting. Like, I want to tell somebody. You know, my personality, you want to say it, then regret it. Say it, then regret it. So what I do is I come to my, I had three best friends. We were all tight. And I come to them and I said, look how much I made today. And they're like, you're lying. They got so insecure. So I knew what it meant to be successful. And then God took me through 10 years, guys. Honest, 10 years through failure. It's not that success that defines you. It's what you do in your downtime. Did you know that David wrote most of his Psalms in the downtime when he was running away from Saul? Did you know that Saul attempted 21 times to kill David, to murder him 21 times? That's when David was closest to God. That's when David learned the most. We don't learn in our successes. We learn through the time of valley of shadow of death. So don't be afraid. If God may give you a promise, if God give you a gift and it's not happening yet, don't get bitter at God. I got bitter. I got to admit it. Don't get jealous of others. I got jealous of others. There's a verse in book of James. In the book of James, it says, the reason you don't have, because you don't ask. Now, some of you are like, who do I ask? And the obvious answer is God. I'm going to challenge that thought. I'm going to challenge that thought because it doesn't say you ask God. It says you don't ask. I was so insecure that when I saw other people doing what I wanted to do, I wouldn't ask. Not God, I would ask God. I wouldn't ask those people. The first time I met with a pastor to ask them, why is this church growing, was about 3-4 years ago. I've been a pastor for like 14 years. You don't get it. Let me say it again. The reason you don't receive, because you don't ask. And oftentimes we say, God, what do you mean I don't ask? I've asked you so many times. How do you get out of debt? God, how do you get out of debt? God says, you're not asking the right person. There's Dave Ramsey you got to ask. There's a guy in a church you got to ask. Bible says wisdom cries out on the corners, on the streets, on the marketplace. Wisdom is everywhere, but you have to ask. Sometimes our arrogance won't let us ask of people because we're so arrogant. God has to speak to me himself. God says, no, I put people around your life. Why don't you go ask them? I gave a guy wisdom to be a surgeon. Why don't you go to him and have him work on you? The reason we don't receive as Christians, because we think we only have to ask God. But God works through people. God works through people. You wondering how, why your family is not working out? Did you know that there is somebody who knows the answer to that? I say marriage is like a mathematical equation. Some people just get that equation, right? Like some people are super smart and you give them mathematical, who here can get any mathematical equation pretty much? Okay, yeah. Some of you are so smart, you don't even have to go to school too long. You're just like, oh, I got this. Like for me, it's like, what do you do here? I can count money in order, but I can add that, but, right? Sometimes people are so arrogant. They're like, God, save my marriage. Help my marriage. And God says, there's a book, Love and Respect, for sale in your church. Why don't you grab that? Oh, I'm too busy. I'm too busy for that. Priorities, yeah. A lot of times we ignore because of our insecurities, because we think if we ask somebody, that makes us less than them. But that's a lie. Asking somebody is actually a spiritual principle. What you do, yes, it takes humility. In order for me to say, how do you do that? Did you guys see what Van did in the lobby up there with that pallet wood? Right? Isn't that amazing? That was awesome. Instead of saying, I can do that, I don't have a gift for that. Like, it would be like weird if I did it. So I said, Van, can you do it? I mean, I'm sure I can nail wood and cut it somehow, but it won't be because I'm not gifted in that area. And so God says, I want you to ask, but it takes humility and it takes confidence to ask. And God says, do not throw away your confidence. Amen. Business people, how do you go to the next level of your business? Sometimes you gotta ask. Sometimes you gotta go and schedule an appointment and buy somebody lunch and just sit there and tell and ask him, how did you do that? How did you break the 500 barrier? How did you break 1,000? What problems did you face when you were 300? What problem are you facing when you're 500? You know, and people love to tell you what their failures and their successes. You got to ask. You got to ask. Are you with me? Want a better marriage? Ask. Want better finances? Ask. Want to know how somebody can go 3 times a year to on vacation? Ask. How do you guys do that? How do you do that? Guys, your mind in 1 hour will expand so much. I meet with pastors all the time. I'm like, I'll pay for it. Just meet with me. And I sit there, zip it, and go, okay, all right. Writing everything down, you got to ask. You got to ask. Ah, so do not throw away your confidence. All right. What is insecurity? Insecurity flows out of jealousy. Out of insecurity flows jealousy and envy. Listen, we all have insecurities. Am I good enough dad? Right? Think about it. We don't get to practice before we have children. Do we? Do we get like a fake children, you know, that we can mess up on and break if we want to? And then finally we get the real things. Right? We don't get a second chance with that. We get like God, for some reason in his wisdom, trusted us to be good parents the first time. I'm a bad parent? Well, ask somebody how to be a better parent. Read a book, how to be, you know. But for some reason, God trusts you. For some reason, God believes in you. The problem is, Satan wants to shake your confidence and make you feel like I can't do it. So then what we do is we find people who we think are better than us, and we start comparing ourselves to them. Instead of figuring out for ourselves, we start looking at what everybody else is doing. And God says, no, no, no. Look to me, and I'm going to work in you. Amen. Amen. I heard a story. How many of you know Joel Osteen? A famous preacher, biggest church in America. Now, I don't know if you believe in his what he believes in his theology. I'm not talking about that. But Joel Osteen went to college, and he dropped out of college and went back and edited his dad's sermon. His dad is a famous preacher, okay? And so he sat in a dark room, kind of like our people right now are sitting, in a little room, and he was editing sermons for 17 years. He was faithful for 17 years. God doesn't give you everything you want right away. He prepares you. While you guys are working in the back there in a sound booth, you're thinking, I'm just doing the computer. But the word of God is being laid in your heart. Amen. And sometimes you can't even skip church because we can't do it without you. Right? And so you have to be here. But while you are here, God is pouring something into you. So don't be surprised if you end up, God put something in your plate that's way bigger than you've ever thought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so Joel Osteen is sitting in this room and his father gets sick. He gets sick. He goes to the hospital and says, he calls Joel and says, Joel, come see me. Joel comes in. His father says, listen, I need you to preach this Sunday for me. He says, Daddy, no. I'm not a preacher. I can't put words together. I sit behind a computer and I edit your sermons. Dad says, fine, take one of my old sermons that you really like and preach that. So Joel went back and started looking through his dad's sermons. And his dad calls him and says, hey, Joel, did you find a sermon? He's like, Daddy, I can't even find a sermon that I really like. But anyway, he took a sermon, one of his sermons, he begins to preach it. And as he preaches, there's a video, I didn't see it, but I've heard of it, that he's preaching and he's very awkward, walking in somebody else's shoes. He even said that he tried to wear his dad's shoes, so the anointing. You know, he was super spiritual. If I walk in his shoes, then I'll be like, you know, the anointing will flow, you know. It's like that Elijah's mantle, you know, Elijah's. If I wear that, then, you know, magic thing. And so one of the next Sunday, he preached one message. Next week, his dad passed away. And then they gave him the church. Dad wanted him to preach. And he says the church was supporting, but he said it was so bad. It was so awkward because he tried to preach his dad's old sermons. It was not him. It wasn't him. And so his confidence was down. My wife told me that last Wednesday, if you were here, she was teaching on the book of Ephesians. She did a great job. But as she was preparing, she said she got a huge revelation from God. And she said, one revelation from God will make you feel so much greater than 100 revelations of somebody else. She said, I was so happy. She said, I don't care if anybody got it. She said, of course, she hopes people did. But she said, it did something in me. I dug gold out of the ground. I found gold in the Bible. And so Joe Osteen started preaching in his daddy's shoes. And then one day he said, that's it. I'm done being like my daddy. I'm gonna find out who I am. And as he began to discover who he was, God began to bless Joel. And now Joel is reaching millions across the nation and all over the world. Thousands of people are getting saved because of what he's doing for God. And listen, he's not like everybody else. He's super nice. And God is using him. I feel like he will never hurt a fly. If a mosquito was biting him in the arm and he was this fat from his blood, I mean, Joel would be like, I love you. God has a plan for you. God bless you. That's Joel, right? Anyways, let's get back. But insecurity, he was so insecure until he realized that who God created him to be was somebody that people actually gonna like. The reason we are so insecure because we try to be like the crowd. And God made you unique and different. And you have to be okay with that. Look at your neighbor and says, you're different. Come on. Look at your neighbor and say, you're different. And I like that. And I like that about you. And I love that about you. You're different. Okay, nobody here is the same. But in order to be secure, you have to accept that you are different. But I don't want to be different. I want to be like everybody else, Pastor. No, in order to be secure, write this down. Put it on Facebook. You got to be okay with being different. I am not like you, and that's okay. And you are not like me. My experiences, my education is different than your experiences and your education. And the God who uses me is big enough to use you as well. Amen. Amen. Clap your hands, somebody. Insecurity. Insecurities do not allow you to be you. Do you know that many people today sitting in this service don't even know who they are? And if you don't know who you are, how do I know who you are? Many people sitting here today don't know who they are. And if you don't know who you are, how do you expect us to know who you are? And because you won't show me who you are, I feel like you are a blah. I'm sorry. Is that right? It's like, I don't get that person. It's like they're so locked up. They have these big walls around them, right? I just can't get them. I don't know if I want to hang out with them. But when somebody who's open, like this guy over here, you want to be around him. You know, he's open. He'll tell you. He'll tell you stuff. That's all I'm going to say. Pizza ranch meeting. inside stuff. But you want to get to know people who are real. You want to get to know their strength, their weaknesses, what they struggle with, what they're successful with. You know why people connect with me? Because I share with you my failures. I share with you stuff. And sometimes I feel like maybe I shouldn't. But I'm like, no, I will not allow you to put a halo over my head. I got issues, people. I got issues just like you do. Insecurities. We never get to, it would be a waste to live a life and never know who you are and what you're here for. But what if people don't like me? Well, some people won't like you, no matter what you do. But some people will love you. Yeah. Have you watched the show Friends? Right? They got such personalities, and that's what makes them so, they're not all the same. Have you watched the show Seinfeld? That bold guy? What's his name? George Costanza. Oh my goodness, what a character. He yells at people. Or Kramer. Right? That's what makes that show, because they are so real. And all of us in church, we all act like we're so perfect. You're fake. Come on, just be real. Be real. Insecurities. Insecurity is so ugly, it makes you hate people you don't even know. Insecurity is so horrible, it makes you jealous of people you love. Yeah, insecurity is so horrible, it makes you jealous of people you love. Have you ever had a friend who got a promotion? You were working at the same job, they got a promotion, and you're like, who does he think he is now? Who does she think she is now? Right? Why do you have to do that? Why can't we celebrate people's successes? Why do we feel intimidated and insecure? Let me prove to you that you are a sinner. Can I prove to you that you're a sinner? And to myself that I'm a sinner? Because insecurity makes us secretly hope that somebody fails. And that's evil. Insecurity makes you secretly, some people even pray, God, make him fail because he, look at him, he's too arrogant. Look at her. She thinks, who does she think she is? God, I pray you humble them. You make him fail. That's evil. Bible says that's a curse. You're praying a curse on somebody. You're saying if that person was a tree, you're praying, God, don't let him have any fruits. That's evil. But why does it happen? Insecurity. Instead of saying God has blessed you with so much and he's blessed me with so much, you are you and I'm me, let's be friends. Have you noticed how hard it is for people with different financial incomes to be friends? Why? Insecurity. And so we can't learn from people who are succeeding because we are so insecure about ourselves, we're so jealous of them that we stay on the bottom all the time. Insecurity is a sin, people. And next week I'll explain why insecurity is sin, because it's not trusting a God who does not make mistakes. I know people here are dealing with insecurities. You're insecure about your body. You're insecure about your face, your hair, your whatever. We're so insecure. There's insecurities. But God says, I love you. I created you. David said, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And my soul knows that very well. I am wonderfully, wonderful, wonderful. I want you to do a test. When you feel secure, look in a mirror. Look in a mirror. What do you see? A good-looking Klimchuk. Man, everything looks good, right? When you are insecure, look in a mirror. You could be wearing the most expensive clothes. You could have the best hair, ladies, best dresses, best shoes, $5,000 shoes, $3,000 purse. Look in a mirror and you're insecure. What do you see? She's so ugly. I hate her. Right? Right? So it's not based on your income. It's not based on your look. It's based on how you feel. And Bible says don't throw away your confidence. How do we do that? Somebody gets blessed. Automatically we go, why? Oh, what are they doing? Are they cheating on their taxes? Are they stealing from their boss? Why? We look for reasons. And guess what we do? We take our confidence and we go. We throw it away. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. What do we do? When somebody gets blessed, watch your heart. Watch your heart in order for you not to throw away your confidence, because you are the one who loses when you lose your confidence, not them. A blessed person is going to continue to be blessed. His blessing or her blessing is not based on your prayers even, and it's not based on your feeling positive for them or feeling negative for them. Their blessing comes from the mighty God. And so when you start cursing somebody who God blessed, that's like Balaam, right? The donkey guy, he wanted to curse Israel. And every time he stretched his finger to curse Israel from the mountaintop, he says, I can't. God blessed and I can't curse. Can't curse somebody God blessed. So don't fight it. Join them. Join them. Join what God is doing. Learn from what God is doing. Today, like I said, I learned from so many pastors. I sit down and meet with them because I want to, and it takes humility. It tells me and that other pastor, it says that I don't know what I'm doing yet. Guys, in every season of your life, you will need wisdom. I learned this. Just because I know how to pastor a 300 people church doesn't mean I know how to pastor a 500 people church. I got to learn more. I got to change. As a leader, I have to change. It's a constant change. But if you're insecure, you're like, I know it all. They must be doing something wrong. And that's what we used to say. We preach the deep things of God here. In that other church, they just preach water or milk with just a little bit of water. That was not true. That was just from our insecurity. Besides, on the last day of Jesus meeting with his disciples, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Love me, feed my sheep. Love, feed my sheep. Okay. Then Jesus says to Peter, follow me. Peter follows. And then there's John. And Peter says, why is he following? And Jesus says, what is it to you? Why is it your business how he follows or why he follows? You follow me. Don't look at how everybody else is following, how Joel Osteen is doing, how another church in town is doing it. You're not accountable for that. He says, how do you follow me? You follow me. Stop looking to the right. Stop looking to the left. Follow me. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, thank you, God. Insecurity. I have 9 minutes, so I got to do this in 9 minutes. Because I got to have you leave. Because we have lunch, so I don't want you looking over the corner. Is there any leftovers, Pastor? Go buy your own lunch today. If you've been here a while, it's just for new people. All right. So I got to have you out of here soon. But anyway, I read the story. I told you, I have one more week to be just free. How many of you know a story of a parable of talents? Parable of talents. I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 25, 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. Now, what will be like? It's talking about the kingdom of God. So Jesus here is talking about what kingdom of God looks like. Okay? Now, this is not a real story. Stop it. This is not a real story. This is a parable, meaning Jesus made up this story. It's probably based on a truth, but it's not a real story. He made it up. So the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Now, in this story, I want you to ask yourself, who is the master and who are the servants? Okay? Because Jesus is talking about a kingdom. Can I give you a hint? The master is God and his servants are us, you and me. Okay, so God entrusted these three men certain amount. Let's read. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To another, 2 bags. And to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his way. So now, let me explain to you. Because when I grew up, I thought like 1 bag of gold was like $20. That is actually not true. I just did my research, and I found out that 1 bag of gold was equivalent for a man working every day for 20 years. So if you were making $50,000 a year for 20 years, help me do the math, That would cost $1 million. So when we think the man who got one bag got cheated, got screwed, right? It's a lie. So a man, even a man who got one bag of gold, got a lot of money. He got so much money, it was $1 million. Yes, the other guy got $2 million, and the third one got $5 million. What this guy that got $1 million does is unthinkable. What would happen if you received $1 million? What would you do with it? Okay, you would spend it, buy a boat, build a bigger house, right? Whatever. This man who got one bag, I call him one bagger. Okay, one bagger. What he did was he went to his backyard, he dug a hole, and he buried it. How stupid can you be? Why would you bury $1 million in your backyard? Can I give you an answer? Comparison and, yes, right there, and insecurity. I've never looked at this story till God showed it to me again. It was comparison and insecurity. Why? Now let's keep reading. Verse 16. To man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So now he has 10 million. So also the man with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. So now he has 4 million. But the one man who had received a bag went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Okay? This is Jesus. I know it doesn't fit our political system. I know it doesn't fit what our media says about Jesus. You know, they only pick and choose what they want to say about Jesus. But this is Jesus talking at the end of his life about this parable. After a long time, Master God of those servants, us, returned and settled accounts. Maybe after a long time. How long is that? After a lifetime. Can I say after a lifetime? He came back and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. Next, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Didn't we hear that somewhere before? That God, at the end of the day, will tell us either wicked and lazy servant or good and faithful servant. This guy says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Catch that word, happiness. Share happiness. Share happiness. Remember that happiness word. Because the one who buried the bag of gold was thrown into darkness. And I want to say, anyway. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Look at this guy. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew you were a hard man. Harvesting where you have not sown. Is that true? Why not? You're right. Yeah, come on. It's not true because he invested what? $1 million into him. What do you mean? I knew you are a hard man. Why are you calling me a hard man? I just gave you $1 million. Why are you calling me an evil master if I just gave you $1 million? Okay. How do you get to that place where you call somebody who did good to you an evil person? Have you ever bought somebody out of jail and they never paid you? And then they accused you of something just to make themselves feel better, which you haven't done? And you're like, how does that happen? Been there. I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. How do you have got to say that to God? But that's what a lot of people say to God. Just wait. This is so big. It's huge. So I was afraid. Insecurity comes from fear. Insecurity is a fruit on a tree of fear. I was afraid. Why are you afraid? Why? Think through it with me out loud. Why was this man afraid? Eli, why was he afraid? What do you got to be afraid of? Insecurity. You know why he was afraid? No confidence. Confidence has a reward. Insecurity brings curse. Why would he be afraid? The other guys were not afraid. They went and did it. Why was he afraid? Insecurity. Do we often judge God and other people because they are doing what God called them to do, but we are so insecure and afraid of doing something with our lives, we sit there and ponder and brew. How do you get from getting $1 million from a person to now calling him an evil and reaping where he doesn't sow type of guy? How do you get there? Insecurity and brewing a negativity. This man is brewing. What is he brewing on? Can I give you this? Number one, let me give it to you. He looked what they got and he looked what he got and automatically compared. And instead of, see, the problem is looking at what they got. It's always the biggest problem you got is looking what they got. The guy with the 5 talents didn't look what the other got. They just kept working. The 2-talent guy didn't look. But the 1-talent guy, what do they got? What do they got? How come they got more than I did? How come? It's not fair, Pastor. Everybody else is blessed, but not me. Why is God blessing everybody else, but not me? Hold on. He gave to each one according to their abilities. He gave to each one according to their abilities. So God believed in you. God believed in a 1-bagger guy, didn't he? He wouldn't give. Do you give $1 million to just anybody? Just anybody? Would a banker just come and say, here, I want to give you $1 million. Here. I don't trust you. I think you're a fool. I don't think you'll ever do anything with your life, but here's $1 million. This bank would be out of business. This is talking about God, and God is not a fool. He's a great businessman. He's an investor. He invested his son into the world, and look how many children he's got. Over 2 billion Christians in the world right now, all children of God. How many already passed away in the past 2,000 years? God is an investor. Your life is an investment. Guys, your life is God's investment into you. And he says, what are you going to do with it? And our biggest problem, and the biggest problem of 1-talenter, 1-bagger guy, is he started looking at everybody else. So he said this. He looked at other guys and automatically felt insecure. Do you ever look at other people and feel like, oh, I'll never be that? God doesn't want you to be that. Listen, God doesn't want you to be. Haley, God doesn't want you to be like that other girl. You are perfect. No, seriously. God doesn't want you to be as tall as that person, as muscly as that person, ladies, as gifted as that person. God wants you to be you. The biggest problem, why we bury God's gifts to us in our life, which bring happiness, come and enjoy the happiness, is because we look at everybody else. Oh, if more people would get this revelation and begin to say, okay, I got one. I don't care how much you got. I'm going to use mine and I'm going to multiply it and I'm going to bring glory to God through my life. Hallelujah. And happiness comes with it. Come and enjoy the happiness, my happiness. Why did I get 1 bag of gold when everybody else got 5? Why does everybody else have better jobs? Why do everybody else have bigger houses, boats, and businesses than I do? Why does everybody have bigger church than I do? Why? And we begin to question God. And after a while, this is what happens. The 1-bagger lost his salvation. The 1-bagger guy, it says, he talked himself out of believing in God. He said, if God was loving and good, he would have given me this. If God was loving and good. Have you ever heard people say that? If God was this, then I would have that. That's comparison. That's out of insecurity. How do you know if God didn't put a $10 million idea in you? But while you are wasting all your energy looking at other people, you are stiffening the fire of God in you, of gifts of God in you. You're burying the gifts of God that are in you. And our culture is so good, especially politicians on both sides. They're so good at pinning people against one another. Instead of us learning from one another, we pin people against one another to hate from from somebody, we should be learning. The truth is, we try to be a version of another, and it brings out discontent in ourselves. God wants you to be you. How? But how do I become me? You want to know how to be you? You must be okay with your differences and unique things about you and differences about you. You got to be okay. You got to be okay with not being like everybody else. Holy Spirit, help your people. He's working. I don't know how spiritual you think this message is, because some of you are like, that's self-help. No, that's Bible. Amen. The guy who was given $1 million. I mean, if you're going to get kicked out of God's presence, why not at least use the million? Right? If you think he's evil, then let me use up his money. If you think he's going to punish me anyway, let me at least enjoy the million. Right? Some of you are like laughing. Some of you are like, But don't go burying it. The sad part of humanity is this, that many will grow old without knowing who they are. The sad part in humanity is to live a life not discovering who you are. And the reason you can't discover, because you're looking at what you think you should be, or you're looking at what people are, a crowd is. And God says, no, I want you to be you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What else? Are you guys enjoying this? Yeah. I just want to know if you want to go home yet. No, okay. Does the Master love me? If he did, he would give me more. Because of our insecurities, because of his insecurities, the one beggar, he was questioning God's love and goodness to the point where he said, God isn't loving and God isn't good. Did you know that? That you can talk yourself out of the blessing of God. He talked himself out of who God is. How do people who used to serve God now hate him? Usually, guys, let me tell you, usually because they thought they should be like Billy Graham or Benny Hinn or Joyce Meyer. And because I'm not, you're not going to give me what they are. I'm done with you. You're not loving and you're not good. And God says, I never wanted you. But the prophet told me. He was prophesying. He wasn't prophesying. He was prophesying. You know how many people are hurt because of bad prophecies? The truth is, there will never be another Joyce Meyer. Just one. The truth is, there's never going to be somebody like you over here. You're special. You are so special. God loves you. Yeah, you. Young girl right here. You're so special. And God says, please get to know me so I can tell you who you are. So I can show you what I want to do through you. Right? Discover me so I can show you who you are. So you can love yourself like I love you. I just feel the Spirit of God speaking. He's moving. He wants to tell you how much he loves you. He's not evil. He does not reap where he doesn't sow. Your life is a seed from God. I'm going to do something to show you. Sometimes you see yourself here. Okay? Snap a shot, somebody. I'm going to put that on Facebook. Sometimes you see yourself here. But in reality, you are here. And here is where we all start. Sometimes people don't take a step because they can't see themselves jumping from here to over there, right? It's impossible. I can't jump from here to there. Maybe some of you can, but I doubt it. Andre, he's getting old. Kidding, Andre. You'll always be younger than me. Yeah. Sometimes, so what we do is we don't do anything. We say, God, if I can't be there, if you don't put me there. But you know what? Sometimes you got to forget about that and you just got to do this. Step one. Thank you, Jesus. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Thank you, Lord. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. Look where I'm at, guys. Look what I was, look what I'm at. And then God says, one more, come on, come on. And you stop looking at that. You just go, God, one more. Okay. Guys, look, I did it. Right, when a child starts walking, Daddy, look what I did. God, I did it. And then God says, one more. Oh God, it's so scary. Look at this thing right here. It's black and I'm scared of it. God says, trust me. Wow, it's not as scary anymore. Right? It's not scary. Wow. Look at me. Right? God says, one more. Oh God, no, I can't do that. That's how life is, guys. Stop looking what he is doing and where he's at. Because there's people who have 5 talents. There's people who have more talents than you. And there's people who have less talents than you. Would you agree? If we're honest, we're about 2 baggers. We have people above us and we have people below us. Stop looking at them. Stop looking at what Eli's doing. God says, do one more step. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Take one more step. Next step. For some of you, it's baptism, really. You got saved, but you haven't got baptized. It's your next step. And you're like, it's scary. I don't know. I don't want to be wet. And God says, do it. One more step. And you're like, it's so scary, God. And then you do it. And you're like, wow, it's not scary. And then one more. And then one more. And then you realize, wow, I am exactly where God said I would be. The dream that he gave me is exactly where I am now. Come on, clap your hands. Bless God. What a revelation on one talenter, one beggar. And I'm not even done, but I gotta quit. So, God loves us. He loves you so much. You're unique. I hope you leave today confident. I'm unique. I'm good. I like myself. When you next time look in the mirror, say, wow, you're such a good looking person. Yeah, because that's what you are. Because that's what you are, guys.